Assalamu alaikum, as we greet in Islam, meaning peace to you all, good morning and shalom. So we have been taught to do this greeting everywhere we go, whether we go to a church or to a synagogue or mosque is a little difficult right now, but that I think we'll start doing that. First of all, thank you for inviting me here to speak on a Mother's Day. Mothers, before I start talking about Muslims in Frederick, or a little bit of Islam, I want you to understand I'm not a theologian or a theologist or a spiritual leader. I'm just a simple Muslim guy who tries to understand his religion, other religions in comparison as well. And we try to stick to the basics and we try to follow the principles rather than the tertiary beliefs and faiths in any religion. So, happy Mother's Day to everybody. The status of a mother in Islam is way beyond a father's status. A simple follower came to our Prophet and he said and he asked him, "Who should I respect the most on this earth?" And the Prophet said, "Your mother." And he repeated, "Who should I respect the most?" And this went on and on for 3-4 times. And then in the end, after the 4th time, he said, "Your father." So the status of the mother is beyond imagination, the religion of Islam. There's a saying in Islam that there is a paradise under the heel of the mother, which means that you can pray for millions and millions of years, but if you even hurt your mother for 1 second, that's it. God has said you'll not go to heavens ever. So you got to make sure your mother is happy with you all. So, as Bill introduced, basically the Muslims in Frederick, I was sitting and talking to some of the friends in the friendly forum, and I said that, you know, the Muslims in Frederick are one of the most blessed people in America. Because since 9/11, we have not been discriminated. We have not been ever put in a wrong situation, wrong position ever. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm a physician. This happens all my life. It rings. Can't help it. As I was saying, that after 9/11, we had a lot of comprehensions and apprehensions and anxiety. But since then and up till now, if you talk to any Muslim in Frederick, I can guarantee you that none of them will say that they were discriminated. And my friend Shahid is here as well. He's a close friend and a companion in a lot of time. And, you know, the things that we do a lot of things together. Whether it's religious, whether it's political, whether it's community work, he's there with me. So right now in Frederick, we have two organizations. One is called Islamic Society of Frederick, which is basically a religious organization which runs the mosque, or we call it Masjid. It was, the ISF was established in 1996, around 1997. The first mosque was created on 7th Street, right in front of the hospital. It was a small little house. I think the area of that house would be, 50 feet by 100 feet. And when I came here, that mosque would accommodate easily in that small room, which would accommodate about 30 people. And, things were going very well. And at the same time, 9/11 happened. But thank God, the FBI came at, I think only once or twice, to the mosque asking for the list of people. We refused to give it to them. Yes, and we refused to give it to them. And this was because of the rule of the law of this country, because this country has equality, religious freedom. We could stand right after 9/11 and tell them on their face to the FBI, "We will not give you the list." So you can imagine the freedom that we have, the Muslims have in this country. And then in 2004, we bought a piece of land on Key Parkway, right behind Wolf Furniture, which is about 4.5 acres of land. And we established a brand new mosque. Now even that mosque has become small for us. The hall is about the size of, a little bigger than this, probably a little bigger than this hall, which accommodates about 200 people. Shahid was one of the men who actually built the mosque. It was an old house, refurnished, refurbished, and revamped the whole thing. So, you know, we have a Sunday school there where students are taught religious and Quranic teachings. So it's going very well, but of course there are problems. We have to deal with them. One of the biggest problems, of course, is money. But we try to cope with this situation as we go along. Now, I would like to tell you about the people who live, the Muslims who live in Frederick. At least, as far as I know, there are Muslims from at least, I would say, 15, 16 different Muslim countries. There are about 57 Muslim countries in the world which claim to be Muslim. And out of that, I think about 36 of them are Arab countries. Rest of them are non-Arab countries. But the population, if you look into, and you know, we claim that we are 1.5 billion. The World Health Organization claims we are 1.3 billion. But, you know, here 200, 300 million here and there, it doesn't matter. You know. But it is the second largest religious group of people in the world after the Catholic Christians, according to the World Health Organization and the Census Bureau of the world and of the United States. And of course, the common language, as I see in this congregation as well, there's a common language of love and peace here. You know, and we have the same thing. There are Muslims who speak Arab language. There are from Indonesia. I met a friend here who's from Indonesia, Malaysia. Most of the Arabs, I call them Arabs basically. I don't call them, you're Egyptian, you're Palestinian. They try to do that. I said, no, you're just Arabs. We are better than you. But no, I'm just kidding. But they are Arabs, so, you know, then there are people from India as well. As you know, India is 1.2 billion people, out of which the Muslim claims that there are about 250 million, the Hindu claims that it's about 150 million. So once again, here's 100 and 100 and 200 million people here and there. So, but we try to live in harmony. We try to speak the same language of love and peace. And, you know, we are trying to learn and evolve into a group of people that would look like Americans, talk like Americans, and believe in the laws and the rules of this country as well. My generation is a little different because we came from, we were not born here, you know. I was an old man when I came to this country. Yeah, but there are a lot of kids. My child's generation will be the generation that made, well, they talk like you, they won't have any accent like I have. They will be fluent and they will be assimilated in the community as you guys are, basically. So we are trying to impart that kind of education to our children to become a part and parcel of this country as well. I was telling Doug and Bill here that, you know, I still have love for the country where I was born, because the country where you're born, you always love. You have that thing in your heart. You know, my brothers and sisters are still there. But we are as Muslims, as patriotic as any other American in this country. I can guarantee you that. Once again, there are extremists, yes, and we are as against them as you are. And we are fighting them as you are fighting them. In fact, Muslims have helped the law agencies more than anybody else in getting terrorists arrested in this country itself. So I'm going to tell you how I came to Frederick now. It's not an amazing story, but it's kind of different. I had graduated from my residency program in Baltimore in 1999, and you know, I had, since I was a very smart guy, I was already recruited. No, I'm just kidding. But I was chief resident in my residency program, so I was offered a job at 3 months before my graduation, and it was one of the busiest internist group of doctors in Baltimore. We had almost 700 to 800 patients in nursing home alone. And when somebody was on call, that means he was fasting and not going to the bathroom for the 24 hours. So I was very happy with that group. I was doing well. I was learning. In the meantime, I started teaching at the place where I was trained. I was also teaching, attending, and that was a very, to me, very highly honorable and blah, blah, blah kind of a thing for me. And then I get a call from a friend who I found out was living in Frederick. He is my class fellow. We were together in the medical school. And he calls me one day and says, "Why don't you come for dinner?" I said, "Really? You live in Frederick?" I said, "Where is Frederick, man?" And he said, "Well, it's only like 40 miles, 45 miles west of you." So anyway, I drove on 70, and I could not believe the beautiful thing that as soon as I entered Frederick, the hills, the mountains, and you know, I had lived in Chicago for three years before I came to Maryland, and the difference, Chicago is flat like a pancake, and nothing but buildings and factories and things like that. So anyway, I came, had dinner, and I said, "Good living, man. I like it in Baltimore." I went back. I started doing things. And then, of course, one of the worst alliances or, as we see, partnership is among physicians. They fight. They break up. They go their way. They go this way. So this is what happened. The group that I had joined broke up. And both these two groups were trying to get me into their side. And their side, I said, "Hey, I'm just going to be by myself." In any case, I started doing emergency room moonlighting. I was doing very well financially and everything. I was teaching and everything. And then my friend calls me back. And he said, "Listen, there's a practice that is being sold. The physician is retiring." I don't know how many of you know Dr. Robert Hughes. He was an iconic figurehead for almost 35, 40 years. I bought his practice. But I told him that you expect me to leave a city and come and live in a village? This was my... And the other thing was that, you know, I was in Baltimore. I was always going in a teaching hospital where they had residency program. If a patient crashed, there was a team to resuscitate the patient. The patient, when he came to the ER, there would be a group of residents taking care of the patient. Frederick Memorial Hospital did not have these things. So I was very skeptical. So I said, no, I'm not interested. Forget about it. And then after 2 months, he calls me back. And then I find out why he wants to call me back, because he wanted to have somebody to cover him when he leaves town. He had no love for me, trust me. But when I came and I saw Frederick and I saw the practice, I fell in love with the city. Practice itself, I put myself, my father was a physician as well, and when I saw Dr. Hughes, it reminded me of my father, you know, an old white-haired man, very respected in the community, a very strong, loyal patients to the physician, which is one of the most important things. Patient loyalty is very important for a physician. And I said, "Listen," I talked to my friend and I said, "Listen, I think I like the practice and I want to come here." But I had lots of skepticism, you know. I mean, I had never lived in a small town before in my life. The city that I was born, Karachi, has a population of 16 million people. Then from there I came to Chicago, 3.2 million people. Then in Baltimore, which is about another million, and then the suburbs putting together all together. Baltimore and Towson is like one of 16th or 15th the biggest urban population in America. So, you know, but when I came here after about 1 month, 2 months time, I came here in May, and the spring had sprung and the summer was coming, and I could not believe the trees, the flowers. I had never seen so many trees with so much flowers in my life, never. And that was the main reason why I stayed here. Nah, I'm not just kidding. But what I'm trying to tell you is, and soon after that, 9/11 happened. You know? And we the Muslims of Frederick were in absolutely uncharted waters then. But I think the thing happened at about 9 o'clock. I was getting ready to go to the office. And I told my wife that we are done. This is what I told her. I was getting ready to go, and I knew immediately this was nothing but, you know, two planes crashing into a tall building. This could not be an accident. But you cannot imagine the reception, the concern of the people of Frederick that they had for us. We were invited to a house owned by a priest. And I can never forget this, 6 p.m. on 9/11, that same day, and we were told nothing to worry about. We know who we are and what's going on. So this kind of thing has really moved us and has motivated us to be involved in interfaith thing as well. And Yahya Hindi spearheaded this whole thing, and he went to like every church in Frederick, almost gave speeches, taught about Islam, told about Muslims, what we are, what we stand for, and it has worked tremendously. Today, I'll tell you, with the Muslims now have great relationship with politicians, churches, synagogues, everywhere. We try to come and do things as much as we can. I'll finish very quickly. If you look into the Muslims here in Frederick, almost 100% literacy rate, 100%. As I can guarantee you, in Frederick, there's not a single Muslim who's not educated, who's not, I would go so far as to say that at least 95% of them have bachelor's degree, almost 80% of them have master's degree. So, you know, education-wise, they're very, very rich in education. I would briefly talk about Frederick County Muslim Council. Frederick County Muslim Council is basically a political organization of Muslims of Frederick. Along with my friend Shahid here, we are the founding members of Frederick County Muslim Council. I'm presently the president of Frederick County Muslim Council, and the whole objective, the basic objective of this council, is to educate and get Muslims involved in the political system of this country. If you meet 100 Muslims in Frederick, none of them have come from a country where there was democracy. None. Turkey has started having democracy for the last 10, 15 years, or else there was dictatorship, military dictatorship. Indonesia has democracy, almost 90%. Malaysia has been democratic for a pretty long time now, but still there was a time when the king was the most powerful guy in the country. Pakistan has parliamentary democracy just like England. But of course, the politicians, the members of the national assemblies are thugs. I call them thugs, thieves. I'm sorry to tell you about this, Pakistan, but it's the fact of life. There is no democracy in any Arab country so far as I can recall. Not one. So our mentality is very different, you know. We think most of the Muslims here in Frederick think if they have a big TV screen, they have a good car, they have good education, the children are doing good in school, boom, that's life. Their life is complete, they don't have to do anything else. And we realized, me and Shahid and some of our friends realized, that this is not the right thing. We have to get the Muslims involved and avail the opportunity this country provides you in the political thing. I'll tell you something, if Osama bin Laden would have been a smart guy, he would have just lobbied in the US Congress and he would have gotten everything. I'm telling you the truth. But he was dumb, he was an extremist guy, so, you know, everything is not this, everything, something comes from here as well. And this country provides these things, you know. Muslims are grateful for that. But once again, if you go to a Muslim and say, listen, this guy is a Muslim, he likes Muslim, he's going to be in the elections, let's contribute some money. They say, no, we don't want to contribute. So these kind of mentality has to be changed. I think the next generation will be in a better situation, condition to understand these things. One of the objectives of FCMC was to educate children so that they are prepared in the future for the political arena, whatever. In fact, we have invited Mr. Paul Montero. He is the associate director of Department for Engagement, some kind of public engagement. He is a liaison between Obama and the community at large, Jewish community, Muslim community, or any minority community. So he's coming here on an invitation. I will send you emails if you guys are interested. You're more than welcome. We'll know about the place pretty soon because, you know, we don't have such beautiful, so nice air. We don't have that kind of hall. The other thing is, so far, lastly, the relationship between Muslims and rest of the people in Frederick is, as I said, fantastic. And I always commend Yahya Hindi. I don't know how many of you know him. He's a brilliant man. His master's was in interfaith studies. He speaks Hebrew fluently. He's an Arab from Palestine. He was born in Hebron, if I'm not mistaken. But presently he's the chaplain and the chief of Islamic studies in Georgetown University. He's also the chaplain at Bethesda Naval Hospital. But he is the theologian. When I call him theologist, he gets very mad. Now he says, "I'm not a theologist, I'm a theologian." And I said, "You to me is a theologist, not a theologian." But no, he's actually a philosopher, he's a thinker, and he's my mentor. Having said that, I hope I have not skipped anything about the Muslims of Frederick. If I have, you are more than welcome to ask me any question. I'll be more than happy to answer you. And here I will end because I was told to speak for 15 minutes. So I hope I did my 15 minutes. So if you have any question, I'm more than happy to answer that for you. Good God, I was a good speaker. No questions. Thank you.